That's the spirit.
Good afternoon, Pete Lynham.
Good afternoon. How are you going?
Good.
Excellent.
Now, this afternoon we're talking why the poor tend to be more religious
than the rich. Yes, indeed. This is a very interesting trend. I mean, it isn't perhaps what you would expect because, I mean, historically, at least in New Zealand, religion has always seemed very much an institutional thing, entrenched in the wealthy parts of society, and they're always trying to feed it out to the poor, but the poor are often quite resisting the attempts to get them involved. Something seems different about these patterns today. It's intriguing, and I mean, listeners might like to look up the article on religion and the economy, is it? The Wikipedia page, which has a few references.
Wealth and Religion on Wikipedia?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, that's the one. Because it has a diagram there in which, by whatever means they define religiosity, and one might raise some questions about that, they proceed to demonstrate that put against the annual per capita income in US dollars, and it's pretty clear that there's a massing of poor countries where religion appears to be much, much more intense, and that if you go to the other extreme, and needless to say, although I can't see New Zealand on that particular graph, Australia is certainly way down there with a higher average income and a very a low level of religiosity.
I don't think I've ever heard you say religiosity before.
Oh, well, because, I mean, the difficulty is how on earth do you define what religion is?
Yeah.
And so all you can think of is, in this case, is a set of religious behaviours that you're talking about, maybe.
I find this interesting coming from someone who's studied religion for most of their academic career, and you're saying, how do you define what religion is?
Well, it's simply that we tend in the West to define it by religious belief. You know, so we want to test what people's beliefs are. But in fact, you would argue that probably behaviours as important as beliefs, and particularly when you go to the poor, the interest in technical doctrines tends to become very small.
Do you mean the morals of the religion kind of thing?
No. I mean, often the morals remain pretty, well, sometimes more intensely held among the poor. But, I mean, visits to shrines, acts of devotion to the divinity, bringing your offerings and the like, or church attendance. I'm talking about that sort of behaviour. So, on this graph, it's pretty obvious that the countries that are most intensely religious are a group of Islamic states and a group, well, they're mostly Islamic states and some very conservative Christian states, and they're mostly sub-Saharan Africa with just a few in Asia Pacific. So up at the high end, Ethiopia, Senegal, Uganda, Burkina Faso, Tanzania, but also the two religious states in Asia Pacific are Pakistan, Indonesia, and then Philippines.
What comes first, the religion or the poverty?
See, it's often, I mean, historically it's been argued that strong religion usually has the effect of making people more thrifty, at least Protestant religion does. I suppose other types of religion might keep people poor because they're pouring their money into the shrines,
right,
and into the gods.
Right.
I think there's an aspect of both. There's got to be an aspect of both in the story. So in some cases, the religions are very, very demanding on people's lives. But, and that when people want to get rich, I mean, they're thinking quite much about themselves,
yeah,
rather than about the
collective
religious demands and the community demands. Mm.
Is there any religions that buck this trend?
Yes, yes, there certainly are. It's interesting if you look at, there's a kind of a curve that shows that can show up in that graph, if you were to really plot it mathematically. And most countries cluster around the kind of the line coming down. It's a logarithmic line. But some are way exceptional. Firstly, the communist countries. Because the communist countries may tend to be at the poorer end of former communist countries, but had very little religion. So Vietnam, the Ukraine are examples of that.
Is that because the state is more the religion? Like you obey the leader?
I think that's a fair way to put it.
Yeah.
The state certainly regards religion as a threat.
Yeah, because certain countries have different hierarchy, right? Like it goes king and then the god, and you know, like obviously the leader is quite high up. And
the leader.
Now, it's also intriguing that the US bucks this trend.
Mm.
Because the US would have the highest average income per head, maybe in the world, or possibly some of the European states would be a bit higher than that.
Okay.
But the US is pretty religious and has a higher rate of income. So there's an exception there. And on this graph, Malaysia sits out as an outlier as well, doesn't it?
So many religions in that country.
Well, Malaysia has the pretty strong and emphatic enforcement by the state of religion.
Okay.
And so that, I mean, some of the... I would have thought the Middle Eastern countries would be starting to trend into that direction as well. Because as their wealth is increasing, it doesn't look as though religions are being given any... is being made voluntary.
I guess it kind of depends on how plentiful your land is and all that kind of thing as well, right? Like you could just be fortunate with what you've got under your feet, so to speak.
And I mean, lots of questions are raised for me about the placement of countries on these particular lists. For example, it's quite surprising to see South Korea on the area of a low level of religious involvement. Whereas, I mean, my experience is that, in fact, Koreans who come to New Zealand are pretty strongly religiously motivated in the church, and the Buddhist shrine seem to play a hugely important role for Korean migrants. So I don't know that the formula is perfect, but it does raise some interesting questions about the flourishing of religious groups in South Auckland, and much less so say on the North Shore.
Right.
You also sent through quite an interesting article that The Guardian had published about religion flourishing in general, because, I mean, we think about ourselves quite often in a Western context, like the US and Western Europe and New Zealand and Australia, and we all think, hey, we're secular down here, but the rest of the world is sort of bucking the trend where lots of people are migrating towards religion. Which is quite interesting, because you sort of...
Yes, and Giles Fraser, the author of that article, suggested that, in fact, we're the exceptions, not the rule, and that, in fact, what's going to happen is a growth of religiosity as the world becomes more globalised.
Is that more because, like, people thinking, oh, shit, the world's kind of a little bit doomed, so they're, like, leaning to religion, or...?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Because not all religions are particularly interested in that kind of sense of what we call eschatology, of sort of offering a future hope. A lot of religions are simply offering a way for people to deal with the present miseries.
Right.
The present experiences of life. And that's why some people in the West argue that religion will decline, that the usual reasons to want to be religious don't occur with the same frequency countries.
I guess like the more people get the knowledge, like the internet, you know, you'd think, you know, science usually awakens people away from religion.
Yes, and better medical care, you might think, would mean less people dying in extreme circumstances, etc. Mind you, the ailments of Western society seem to be pretty acute anyway. So, I mean, I don't think you'd want to present the argument that the West's a happy place. So
No one's got it completely nutted out, 100%. Definitely.
Yes. But, see, I mean, I think the most interesting question is, will there always be poor people for whom religion offers that kind of integration and purpose and direction? And, well, there's no sign in the capitalist-based economy that there's going to be no poor. In fact, there's going to be far more poor in the future.
Yeah, with automation and stuff like that, that's likely to distance the gap rather than close it up.
Yes, I mean, I had a disturbing conversation with somebody the other day who was insisting that we were now living in the leisured world where, for most of us, the problem was how to manage our leisure. And I wondered who he was talking to. On what evidence was this extraordinary statement based? I know this was the great theory of what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But it hasn't worked out like that for too many people.
Yeah, I think the conundrum is giving people enough in their life to make them feel like they are actually contributing. That sort of might be kind of what that person's trying to get at. Like, we've actually got enough food and everything now, technically.
Another rather disturbing factor in this is that in the countries at the top of the religiosity list, they're mostly places where there's increasing religious debate and violence.
Oh, like conflict of another religion?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. So it's like get on your team. Oh, that's interesting.
Ethiopia, Senegal, Pakistan,
Indonesia.
I mean, incredibly powerful moves against religious minorities are taking place in these countries where maybe the question of distribution of goods has become so acute.
Fascinating. Another good one, Peter. Another fantastic one. Thank you very much.
Okay.
We'll catch you next Monday.
Look forward to it. Bye.